I've kind of entitled this Back to Genesis. When we're in a little series about living an empowered life. What does it mean, empowered? Understanding that you generate power from on high, God through you, if you will. You do not have this power in and of yourselves. We know that. But this empowerment does come from above. And I've entitled this Back to Genesis because I really believe that when we get it in our knower, and it sinks and gets embedded in our hearts, that our faith, our most holy faith, and what does most holy mean? It's separated out. It's exclusively for God. That our faith in God and the power of His Word will then be totally at work in our lives. We'll have no reservations and we'll do our part and we'll wait on God to do His because He's already promised. So this message this morning, I pray you understand the roots. You understand the basis of why and the fact that you are empowered for supernatural works as the Lord directs. First of all, an essential ingredient to living an empowered Christian life is understanding God's image of you. If I were standing here and there was a shadow from the sun being cast upon me on the ground, or if I was looking in a mirror, what would I see? I would see an image of what was being reflected. Do we understand that? An image will come from something that is reflected. If I'm standing here, my image can be broadcast up on that screen. Churches today, I don't know how it works, and probably Dan could probably explain it a whole lot better than I can because you got a lot more knowledge in this. But there's pastors standing on stages preaching messages, and they're not really there. What do they call that? A hologram. Well, I'd rather have a personal pastor where I can come and shake his hand and give him a hug and tell him that I love him and just hold him for a little while than to really, like, look at his image. But that image does represent what he's doing in another place, standing there broadcasting, if you know what I'm saying. Well, we have to understand God's image of us to understand that while God is controlling things right now in heaven, His image is in you. And though you can't touch Him and feel Him and squeeze Him like we're going to do one day, and I can't wait for that day. In the meantime, He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. His Spirit is alive in us. His image is part of who we are. And when we come to understand that God is directing all things in heaven, if we'll just learn to yield and listen, we will be empowered to such a degree that the book of Acts will come alive again. It never should have departed. We caused that because of our own independence, much like Adam and Eve went away from God. Instead of being directed by them, took it upon themselves to try to be more like Him. Well, they were already just like Him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. God's Word is the truth that reveals who we really are and how He regards us. It's not a pastor's opinion. It's not a denominational opinion. It's not an opinion from the newscasters or the presidents of countries. It's what God has revealed in regards to us of who we are. And if we journey back to the book of Genesis, we'll clearly see that God created everything to do what? To produce after its own kind. Let's look at that. You pick up a Bible and you read, "Then God said." Remember, we already talked about that word that is forever settled in heaven. He's not a man like us, so he won't lie. If He said it, you can count on it, you can bank on it, and it will come to pass. And He said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. So fruit trees were supposed to bear what? Fruit, right? Vegetables were supposed to bear vegetables. I could go somewhere with this, but I'm not. Verse 12. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding. Did I do that? Okay. Plants yielding seed after their kind. Now we're to plants. Trees bearing fruit with their seed and their kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21. I want to catch this theme. God created the great sea monsters and everything, every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind. And every winged bird, what? After its kind. And God saw that it was good. And verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And verse 25. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was. Do we understand? Okay. God creates everything after its own kind. You're not going to get a man from a donkey, or a donkey from a man. You're going to get a man from a man, right? This is a ground rule in heaven. And included in this creative ground rule for mankind was mankind. And God said, let us, Father, Son, here's your Trinity, triunity of God. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness or our kind. And let them what? Rule.
That's right.
We've been made after God's kind, after God's likeness, after God's image. We're being broadcast on earth to do what? Rule. Yeah, we forsook it with Adam and Eve, but we got it back through Christ. We are to rule. We are to resume the responsibilities that God gave mankind when He put us here. Because we were created in His image, and He is not screwing up, and He's not messing up. He had a plan. Even when we didn't, and we messed up, He fixed it. Permanently. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle. Everything we just saw representing its own kind, right? And over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Oh, this is a big one. Male and female, He created them. That's for another time. God's image obviously does not consist in man's body. Take a look around. We're not God, right? So when I look at you and you look at me, you know, we're not a picture of God. In other words, our bodies wasn't what He was talking about. Now hang with me. Why? Because we were formed from earthly matter. But in His spiritual, in His intellectual, and in His moral likeness to God, from His empowering breath, we were created. What am I saying? What our image is of His spirit, of His intellect, of His moral likeness. And again, it came from His empowering breath that He then, after He made us of the elements of the earth, if you will, the dirt, the dust, some Bibles call it. He formed us and He created us from that. But what made us become like Him was when He breathed life into man. He breathed of His own spirit, and we became just like Him in His likeness. Man, thus, is the visible bodily representative of the invisible bodiless God. We know that God is spirit, right? So don't get confused with bodiless, okay? God is spirit. And therefore, we became, ultimately, Jesus became man in bodily form to represent the Father, who is spirit, right? And so Jesus becoming man tells us that if Jesus could be who He was in His likeness and do what He did and having the Holy Spirit, we can be in His likeness doing what Jesus did, having the Holy Spirit. Jesus proved it. that we're the bodily representatives of the invisible God when he became man and dwelt among us. John 1:14. And the Word, that Logos I was telling you about, the eternal Word that's been there before time, after time, and for eternity, came in a moment in time. That's what Rhema is. See, God can come at any moment in time when you're driving, you're listening to a song, you're in praise and worship, you're in church service, wherever you may be as you quiet yourself. That living Logos, that Word, then becomes a Rhema because God is specifically and personally speaking to you through it. And that's what he did with Jesus. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, and glory is the only begotten of the Father. And he was full of what? Grace and truth. Our likeness guarantees that we can be a powerful and faithful representative of God on earth. Because the Word says here that he gave us dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Folks, this means we have dominion over creeps. It does. Serious. And we know what creeps are. I mean, the devil fell. A third of the angels fell. They only have authority, or should I say, given power and authority to do anything by us, because we rule over them. They're beneath our feet. Positionally, we're seated in the heavenly places. We're seated here right now. You understand, bodily, we're here bodily. Spiritually, though, we're made in the image of God. We're seated. We are positioned with Jesus in the spiritual realm over creeps, yes, over demons. But when you agree with demonology, when you agree that you're rejected, when you agree that you feel unloved, when you agree that you've got fear, when you agree with what the enemy is saying over God is saying, so it is. Every word that proceeds out of your mouth is powerful. Yes. Call those things that are not as though they are. In other words, the things that are the will of God, as we speak them, they will ultimately manifest, yes, in his time. Now we know that from the Word, our Father in heaven originally formed us from the ground he created. Let's go look at Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man, okay? He took us from the dust, from the ground, and he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, the spiritual energy, the DNA of God, the likeness of God, his personality, his everything that he is, all of it. And man became a living being until he put his spirit in us and developed our spirit. We were not alive. We were not a being. Does that make sense? Taking a clump of earth and putting it in your hands and molding it and shaping it into something and calling it alive is that's just stupid, right? But God, breathing into any substance can shape and form it. And I'll give you an example. It would be like a carpenter taking a tree that's already been created, right? It's already here. Earth was here. And changing its form into a house. We know how carpenters do that. We got a lot of them in here. But there's no life in a home until what? You come and live in it. This is good. You got to get this. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good when I put it together. It's still good now. There's no life in a house until someone comes to live in it. God created the house out of the dust of the earth, and there's no life. But when God breathed into man, we are essentially, that is who we are. We are essentially a God-breathed spirit that is temporarily dwelling in this earthen vessel. He could have breathed it into a glorified body. He could have breathed it into anything, really. But we went where God's breath went. Because we're from God. We're sons and daughters. We really are, spiritually speaking. We are his sons and daughters. And he breathed us, who we really are, into these temporary dwellings. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. For we know that if this earthly tent, he's calling it an earthly tent, our bodies, which is our house, if it's torn down, which it will be one day, right? We have a building from God. That's going to be our glorified body. A house that's not made with His hands, but it's eternal. It's of heavenly substance, in other words, in the heavens. That's why Jesus could pass through the wall and the disciples go, "Ho! How could He do that?" You can't do it in an earthly body. But when you have heavenly substance surrounding you and you're glorified, you can pass through. My wife says she can't wait till she can fly. You do in your dreams, you told me. She does in her dreams, but one day she's going to fly. Pass through walls. It's truth. For indeed, in this house we groan. How many out there right now have some type of physical pain? Okay? You're groaning, right? Longing to be clothed, longing to have this new body, in other words, with our dwelling from heaven. These are temporary. You're going to have things go on with them. There are times you will get sick. They're decaying, folks. It's in a state of decay from the moment you're born. God never intended this to be it. This is not who we are. And as much as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. He didn't put us down here as just a spirit to be roaming around in the spirit world like Satan and his demons are. He intended us to relate to this world, so He had to give us what? Something to function in. It's not who we are. It's just a body walking around temporarily that is slowly decaying over time. And there's going to be this transition from this to that heavenly dwelling. He's telling us in advance. Don't get hung up on your aches and pains. It's not going to last. There's an eternal dwelling of glory awaiting you. Be the person I created you to be while you're in that tent. Use what you got. Some have more tools than others. Some people, they're missing a leg or an arm because they fought for our country or did something brave and miraculous. And God applauds and says, don't worry about whether you lose an eye or an arm. Just be thankful your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For indeed, while we're in this tent, while we're in these bodies, we're going to groan. That's why we got doctors and nurses too. He put them down. Praise God for those angels, right? Being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but we want to be clothed. As, you know, hey, if we're not in these things, we're up there. So if you want to stay here, you know, put up with what you got. So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. And it will. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose, He's God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. In other words, the Spirit that God has given us is just a down payment of what's to come. I've assured you of a place in heaven, as my brother, where's Les, as he said. My plan has always been that all men be saved. But are all men saved? No, but are all men, does He want all men to be saved? Of course. Is everybody healed? No, but does He want everybody healed? Yes. And you're going to see how some of this can happen when we take our authority and the power and what He's given us to get her done. Folks, when our earthly body dies and returns to the dust, we have an eternal glorified body waiting upon our God-breathed spirit to move in. What we are currently clothed with is for functioning in the natural realm. Hence why Scripture says our bodies are constantly groaning and being burdened. After all, they are in this state of what we said is decay. But without our body, the Scripture says, we will be found naked, meaning our spirit would not have a physical place to what? Rule from. Because that's what this talk is all about. We are here to what? What was the original plan God had for us? To rule. So if we're going to rule in the earthly realm, we need an earthly body to rule from. Now one day that's going to change. Heaven will come on earth. Jesus and we alongside Him will rule over earthly people for a while in the millennium, right? Until the final the final epitome of what God's plans are will be for eternity. And that is that we'll all be in eternity and there will no longer be a 1,000-year reign on earth. It'll be the new Jerusalem settling upon this earth and we're just going to be with God forever and ever and ever and ever. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. So, in light of all this, we need to quit complaining about our physical condition, which is ultimately deteriorating, and focus on our inner spiritual man. Right. that's producing, it says, an eternal weight of glory for beyond our wildest dreams. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man, who we really are, is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us what? An eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. So if you're suffering while you're in this thing, because it's gonna react to the people who are persecuting. It's going to react to all the trials you go through and all this kinds of stuff. And what he's saying is, don't let that reflect what's going on in you. You can have joy in that. Why? It's not who you are. Even if my life were to be laid down and taken, so what? Then I'm in the presence, Paul says, immediately of God. Boy, when you can get that concept and realize that's the way it is, you can begin to understand and study, okay, this isn't me, but there's that inner man that if I tap into that and know who I am, I can do all things through Christ. While we look not at the things which are seen, hard not to, they're right in front of us. Peter did, waves, down he went. As long as he looked at Jesus, what happened? He walked on water. But all the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? They're just temporary, folks. But the things which are not seen, they're eternal. They're eternal. That's good news. That is really good news. Our bodies are not who we are again. We've been in our Heavenly Father's thoughts long before He designed our earthly bodies to live in. Did you hear what I just said? You were in your Father's thoughts well before He put you and breathed you into that physical body of yours. How do I know this? Because Scripture tells me, Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when? When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in where? The depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen what? My unformed substance. We weren't formed yet. And in your book, hallelujah. They were written all the days that were ordained for me. You knew before I was even born exactly how long I'd be and where I would be and how I would be and how I would act. He is outside of time. If we are temporal people living in a segment of time such as this, and God is circling outside of time, He can go into your past and heal it up. He can go into your future and proclaim it to you. He can stay right there where you are and take care of every need. He can do anything He wants because He sees and exists outside of that time warp. And you're never going to understand that. So don't knock people who are going into their past to get rid of their junk, because the Holy Spirit can leap through time and clean up and bring you truth that will set you free from the bondage you've carried for 10 or 20 years. And if you don't want to grab that and grip that, then live the way you are and just quote whatever you want to quote. But experience and the Word of God tells us that God is bigger than all that. He knew you before you were even born. That tells you how far God can travel on either end of the spectrum. We can't. We live from here forward. But boy, do we carry all the junk. Why can't we carry all the stuff that we read about that happened 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, all the miracles, all the wonders, all the power that God did through His people, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why can't we carry that same authority and power and march today like Peter marched and like Stephen and like Paul, where they did signs and wonders because they followed the Word? I don't see a difference. I don't see where God stopped in time and said, okay, church, you're going to be weaker now in 2017 and 18 than you were in the first year you began. God doesn't do anything in reverse, except go outside of time. Folks, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were written all day when there's not, there was one of them. Wow. Who you really are is a God-breathed spirit, which is in communion, as Teresa explained before, with His Spirit. Therefore, He wants you to understand and experience the surpassing greatness of His power working in you. God wants His power to be made manifest through you and in you. He's told us, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Because why? We were created in His image. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. In other words, all of the treasures and power and authority and everything that exists within heaven to be strengthened. He's granting you to be strengthened with what? Power. How? Through His Spirit. Where? In your inner man. When you grip this, when you get this, when you realize who you are, a God-breathed spirit with all of God's power for all of His riches and treasures in heaven, and it can be exercised as Jesus exercised it when He was here, it'll change the world so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through how? Faith. What am I trying to do to you this morning? Increase your most holy faith. Believing in what you don't see with your temporary bodies that weren't designed to see eternal things. Do you get that? And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, boy, does love have a center of attention in all this, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. So He's asking us to understand as He understands. He wants us to take from the Logos, that eternal Word of God, and bring it down to us in a moment of time when we need it, a moment of power when we need it, a moment of authority when we need it, and place it into practical application to know the love of Jesus Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Can you even wildly imagine what the fullness of God is? He wants us to bring it into our, what? Spirit man. He's not going to deal with your flesh. He's not going to deal spirit to flesh. He's going to deal spirit to spirit. Your spirit and His spirit communing is going to do wonderful things for God. But if you try to do things independently, if you try to do them in your own strength, if you try to just do it through ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're toast. You got nothing. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all you can ask for or think, according to what? The power that works within us. In other words, hey, you can do all things through Christ, but I'm talking to your spirit, man, not your pride, not your personality, not your little kingdom you're trying to build, not your flesh, not your arms and your legs, not your efforts. I'm talking to your spirit, man. You can do all things through Christ. That's who you are, because you're going to leave that body when I decide that you're going to leave that body. And it's not coming with you. It was just a temporary dwelling. It's not who you are. No, please get to work and do what I've asked you to do from the beginning of time. Read it. It's who you are. I love you. My love is in you. Christ is in you. The power is in you. The authority is in you. The chiropractor that I go to, after he gets done adjusting me every time, what does he say when he's done? Power's on. It's just what he does. He's a Christian. Power's on. I've just, from God, through me, delivered to you a treatment. The power is on. Ooh, that'll preach. To Him be the glory in the church. Where? He wants to see the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He didn't want to see a weakened church. He wants to see a militant, victorious church when He comes back. He's looking to find to and fro those who would serve Him in spirit and truth and operate in His power and His authority, not those that are walking around speaking words of death. We're to speak words of life, whether you see it or not. Because it's not what you see, it's what He said. And if you repeat the words of your Father, who you've made in the image of, and He's given you the power, wow, you're going to go into a room, such as what my wife did, with a person who was literally resurrected from the dead because of the power of God's Word. Not because she did it. She was a vehicle. She was just a vessel whom God delivered a powerful salvation message. So she not only got saved from death, hell, and the grave, she got up out of the bed. According to God. Now, hey, if He wanted to take her home, hey, she's saved, bring her home. Praise God, she knows where she's going now. But if He's got another plan, she's going to get up, walk around, and she's going to start ministering from church to church. Why don't we leave that one up to God? But we have to be willing to, and that's what Teresa asked her. Are you willing to, like, if He wants to raise you up and not take you home, are you willing to speak? Yes, I am now. That's yieldedness. That's yieldedness. But Pastor, is it really necessary for God to burden us in these weakened bodies while all this is transpiring? Yes, temporarily. Why? Because sin required it. God cannot break his own word. What did he tell Adam and Eve? If you sin, you will be in a state of constant state of decay. You will die. They had to die. Obviously, they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. And that was, again, brought back through Jesus Christ, right? But their physical bodies then went from being immortal to mortal and went into a state of decay. Sin required it. So, yes, because you have to die one day, whether it's 80 to 120, hopefully, if you live to be the full span of what God says we can do. If you're going from 0 to 120, there's going to be a state of decay. That's just the way that life works and how God has it today. But that's, understand, that's only because of sin. That wasn't what he originally designed us to do. But praise God, Jesus changed the end result of sin and has worked all of this together for good. As now God gets all the glory when his strength, because we're not going to have it, and his power, because we're going in a state of decay, right, is seen through our weakness. Does that scripture make sense now? His strength and power is seen through our weakness, our mortality, our little selves here placed that can't do what God can do through us. So people will go, ah, there must be a God. Because what I'm looking at isn't him. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. We're getting there. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. In other words, I'm seen when you become less. What did John say? I must decrease that he may increase. They don't need to see a prophet out in the wilderness screaming at them and getting mad at them for not doing things right. They need to see a Savior who comes in love that says, even though you haven't done anything right, if you give your life to me, I'll love you for all eternity. My grace is sufficient for you. It's what saves us. You can't get it done. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about all my problems and weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, don't stay there. You can complain about whatever's going on in your body, but your inner man, baby, must be rising up so that the power of God is displayed through you, even though, you know, Smith Wigglesworth is somebody you probably all read about. I mean, he raised the dead. He threw people against the wall, said, get up. They were dead. Get up. They were dead. I mean, there'd be lawsuits today if we did that. But they got up and they rose from the dead. Yet he'll tell you himself, he suffered with kidney stones and all kinds of back pain for time on end. In other words, he knew that his power didn't rest within his physical, you know, prowess. He was weak and God was strong and he concentrated on his inner man. This is what we need to do. Therefore, I am well content with my weaknesses and with insults and distresses even. Hey, you can persecute me. I'm with difficulties for Christ's sake. Because when I'm like that, when I'm weak, I know that I'm strong if I can hold on to the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Yes. I can hold on for the hope of my salvation. I can know that my spirit-breathed spirit right here in me is going to be with God. If I'm absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. When you focus on that when you're having the pain in the elbow, it'll help you get through. We're not in glorified bodies yet. Did we do 2 Corinthians 4, 7, Pam? Okay, let's do it. But we have this treasure, what? We've got God's power and authority and all this wonderful stuff right now, all encased in these earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. People cannot deny when God moves through you because they know the potential of the human body, and it's not very good. I mean, we got athletes today that can do some pretty amazing things, but there are not too many people walking around raising the dead, having legs grow out, healing the lame, delivering people from demons. You don't see that on TV. Well, sometimes you do, but. So, folks, this is what empowerment, that's what I'm trying to say here in this series. This is what empowerment is all about. God working through man. And he's not into natural things. He's into supernatural things. So don't put God in a box. Well, let me just start out by going over here and bringing somebody a piece of cake. You can be born again right here at this altar, turn around and go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God works through man supernaturally. He doesn't work through us naturally. When you're doing things in the natural, that's your own self, body. God's into the supernatural. And we've been elected, I'm telling you, we've been elected to demonstrate God's great works, which follow His word and are to be experienced by the world. Otherwise, no religion is any different than any other religion. Receive this revelation and become who you really are in Christ. John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Talking about Jesus. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself. This is good news. That where I am, there you may be also. This is what we have to look forward to. And you know the way where I'm going. He's encouraging his disciples to carry on the ministry in the face of persecution. Get and grab the power, because there's a great exceeding power awaiting you. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one's going to get that power. No one's going to have that kind of authority but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him. And now you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Oh, Philip, oh, Philip. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not come to know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And if you have seen Jesus, they should see you. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I've said to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father who abides in me does his work. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Otherwise, if you can't get it that way, Philip, here we go. Believe because of the works themselves. That's why we need to be clothed with power from on high. Because in other words, you're just a bunch of words going into somebody and they could care less. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do. Because I go to the Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to be amongst all of you, so there's going to be a lot more works. Whatever you ask, boy, in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus never did anything the Father didn't tell him to do. We're not to do anything that Jesus doesn't tell us to do, right? If you ask me anything in my name, in my character, in my DNA, in the image I created you for, in my will, in my eternal word, it could say. That's what it's saying. You just can't ask for pink Cadillacs and $1 million and all these things. That's not what God had in mind. He said, if you ask anything in my character, in my DNA, in my spirit, in my word, according to my will, I will do it. What a revelation. But finally, do not beat yourself up if you're not moving mountains quite yet. Because that's the first thing you're going to say, well, why aren't I moving mountains? He said, I can move a mountain. Why can't I move that mountain? Sometimes it takes a while to increase our most holy faith. I want you to look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, it says what? Building yourselves up on your most holy, most separated out, most precious faith that's exclusively God, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray with your inner man, your spirit man. Don't complain to him with your words on the outside because things are falling apart in your life. With your inner spirit man, pray, God, increase my most. How do you increase faith? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does that mean? You got to commune with the Father so that He can take out of eternity those moments that you need Him with that power and that authority and thrust it down to earth from your prayers and dish it out through His angels and give it to you so you can do the work of heaven on earth. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Wow. The woman with the issue of blood first spent all of her money on physicians before her faith led her to Jesus. Hang in there. Hang in there. Continue to declare God's word over all your situations in faith. Believing. Knowing who you are. And we will heal the sick. We will raise the dead. We will cast out demons. It is the Word, the eternal Logos of God. Folks, we are the body of Christ anointed with the Holy Ghost. Last scripture, Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Why? Because it comes from our inner man. So that we would what? Walk in them. We got to take the step of obedience. They're not just going to happen. We take the step. So saints, let's start operating in His likeness, in His power, because that is who we are.